are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Talk radio show. We're excited to come to you. We're really in a new dimension this morning. I'm excited to share that we're trying something new. We actually have to date recorded our shows from telephone, but I'm so excited about our guest today that I asked them to join me here live. So we got all suited up and we're ready to go. So this is Reggie Hammond, and I am hosting the Finding Your Forte radio show on Up to Me Talk Radio. We're really excited about this. This is, I think, show number five. I'm over the moon elated about our guest today that I have the opportunity to introduce you here shortly. Sometimes you just gotta slow down and let the words come out. But I wanted to, share one of the things that we've gotten some feedback and some people have, giving Reggie a little critique. We talk a lot about finding your forte as a program, that the one common denominator that clients or the guests that have been on the show have experienced. And I really haven't talked much about that experience outside of the context of the title of the show, but it's really a program that clients go through individually to first inventory themselves and identify their most optimizable assets, we call passions, gifts, and motivations. And then we frame up visions for themselves that we support with goals and action items. And that deliverable that we put together for each client is your masterpiece. And so if this is something that you're interested in learning more about, please definitely send an email to info@yourcrescendo.com, yourcrescendo.com. Your Crescendo is the vision that is a venture that I launched back in 2011 that's really focused on getting the world on purpose, big picture. And we are really focused in the early years here on professionals that I consider high impact that can drive purpose through their careers and business. So enough of what I sense is a commercial, but everyone else is telling me is just basic information. I wanted to share that. I didn't want you to not have some common understanding of that, but it does give us some context for the conversation that that we'll have today and in episodes to come. So let's get to what I think is probably the most exciting thing today. I am elated to introduce you to our guest for the morning, Mr. Elton Potts. Elton and I have an amazing journey that's led us here today with paths that have intertwined and separated and intertwined again and separated. And I am excited about our both being faithful to that journey and continuing to be partners for each other. It is a relationship that's evolved through, I first met him as I worked for him, as I salute him here. And then he took on a role as a, I don't know if I ever told him he was a mentor, but he was. And that relationship has evolved even still today, colleagues that we have the opportunity to, we have these tough love sessions that we may even, if we're If you're lucky, we may even try to do one of them on air. So enough just kind of rambling on. Elton, thank you so much for braving the weather and coming to join us this morning.
Reggie, thank you for having me. It is such a pleasure to be back with you again. And I want to first off say thank you, since we're doing this sitting in the same room together and live, that you actually got dressed and you didn't show up in your pajamas. I appreciate that. All right. And, you know, you and I have been friends for more than half of our lives. We've been friends. And you're right. There's been times where that friendship was very close. There were times that business or distance took us apart a little bit. But every time we come back together, man, we're right back where we left off last
Absolutely.
Time.
And Absolutely.
So it's a pleasure to be with you today. Thank you for having me.
And I've always celebrated those as the best relationships where you can, you know, you don't necessarily need the quantity of
That's
daily
right.
interaction in order to sustain it.
That's right.
But I'm going to, you know, maybe even embarrass us both a little bit and let you start with, like, the uncanny revelation that we, and then frankly, I don't even think we figured this out until some time later, that we probably were born in the same hospital and pretty close in time to each other, and only to meet some miles and hours and time zones away in Kansas City, Missouri. I'd love to have you share that story.
So many years ago, I was working with Owens Corning Fiberglass in Kansas City, actually. And it was on the Kansas side. You lived on the Missouri side. I lived on the Kansas side. The factory was on the Kansas side. And I'm working there, and my boss comes to me and says, we are going to have an intern for the summer, and I want you to look after him. Fine, that's fine. Sure, whatever. Well, a few weeks later, here walks in Reggie. And, you know, Reggie and I, we start out polite and learn a little bit about each other. And as we keep going, we realize that two of us sitting here many, many states away from home were both born in Albany, Georgia. We both were born in the very same hospital. And I've got Reggie by a little bit of time, but not that long. So when we were born wasn't even that far apart. And so that little detail that the good Lord put us together many miles away just added that one more thing to a very special relationship.
I mean, talk about purpose and
That's right.
destiny. I mean, you know, it was obvious that, you know, God had some work for us to do. I get a little emotional even thinking about this story, how we had to go miles away from home to discover, you know, that we had that in common and,
That's
that,
right.
we, and that we continue to progress in our lives and our businesses and our careers. Anchoring back on that place. And in a lot of ways, it gives us a solid foundation of faith to be able to connect to that I think brings this added dimension of inspiration, but also accountability in our relationship. And I absolutely love it.
You know, one of the best parts of that accountability is, you know, you can't snow the other person here.
Absolutely.
Because I know where you're from.
Exactly.
I know where you grew up. Don't try that with me.
Don't get brand new. That is outstanding. That is outstanding. It's going to be hard for us to stay focused on any kind of agenda this morning, because we could easily spend enough time telling you about Phoebe Putney Memorial Hospital and all things Albany and Kansas City, Kansas. But we gotta share your story, Elson. I got you here for a reason, and everyone wants to learn about the many successes of Elson that I think have very really rich and valuable lessons to be able to share. So come on, get into it. So you know, give us a little bit of a guided tour through, you know, your life and career to this point, and then we'll just find points to dig in.
I appreciate that, Reggie. And you stop me, because you know I can just ramble on, okay?
I likely won't.
All right. So, you know, growing up, being born in the big city of Albany, Georgia, and living in that area for a few years, my family then moved to a tiny town in South Carolina called Walhalla. And the good Lord had plans there, and I didn't, of course, understand and see them, but, you know, it was going to be tough for me and our family to make it to college and be able to afford all those things. And good student, not the best student, but good student. But we ended up with me attending a high school where this lady who had passed away had left a sizable amount of money to the high school as an endowment to be able to fund for students to go to college. And it was, as I said, sizable. She was able for then on to be able to fund anywhere from 4 to 10 students per year to go to a major state university for 4 years for free. And that is an impact. That was an early lesson for me of somebody leaving a legacy, paying it forward to the people that came along after her.
Wow.
And if it hadn't have been for her kindness, a lady I never met, you know, my chance to go to university would have been severely limited. And what I could have gotten out of it, right, would have certainly been challenged as well.
Wow.
So I started out through the kindness, the goodness, the grace of others. And that gave me a chance to jump into a business career and from there to grow and to learn. And it was an absolute blessing. And it's taught me throughout my entire life that my job here is not just to be and to do and to provide for my family, but my job here is also to leave something for somebody else, to help others as well.
How powerful and compelling that is. And I've heard you share that story, but not to that detail. You really brought some treats for listeners today, I see.
Yeah, we'll do our best.
That's outstanding.
But it raises a high bar.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Especially around the obligation to leave a legacy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And when I say legacy, I don't mean name on the side of a building,
right,
legacy.
Right,
I mean, how am I in my life going to impact others in a positive way?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
I completely get it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So from there, moved into the corporate world. My undergraduate degree was in financial management, and of course, you move into finance roles. And very early in my career, had a chance to go work in operations, and was production supervisor in a roofing shingle factory in Ohio. And that's a far cry from sitting in a classroom learning about corporate finance. All right, or learning about accounting.
Right.
Okay? That is where skills like common sense and how you work with other people and communication, those skills are valuable. And the hard work of, you know, we make a bundle of roofing shingles every 3 seconds, so somebody better be able to catch those on the other end.
Right.
You very quickly learn that reality comes quite quickly. Right. But those things that don't kill you make you stronger, and had a great career that, you know, that led me then to Kansas and to meeting Reggie. Worked with Owens Corning Fiberglass for a few years, then went on and was with Newell, which later became Newell Rubbermaid, and spent 10 years with them and served as CFO of 3 of their businesses and learned a ton in the process. But for me, I also learned that I didn't just want to be a finance professional my entire life. The finance world was changing. You know, it's 2001, and it's a time when WorldCom and Enron and Sarbanes-Oxley and all these other challenges were coming mm-hmm. into the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it was changing what a finance professional did. And I learned early on that my skill set was understanding how businesses make money and helping businesses make money. Because Reggie, when you came and was an intern at Owens Corning, my job at that point in time, it was a very unique role. My job was save the company my salary 5 times over each year. That was my job. And so you start out beginning the year with, what are you going to do to pay yourself back to the company 5 times this year, do it again next year, do it again the year after that. And it really forced me to understand how to make money and how to make a business more profitable. So as the finance world changed, it wasn't moving the direction I wanted to go. I wanted to do things that added value in a different way than a finance professional was being forced to, largely at that point in time. And so I took a career move that was a backwards career move. I went back two steps in my career to get a chance to move into operations with a chance to run the operations of a business and later to have a chance to run a business. And luckily, both of those bets that I made paid off. I ended up running the supply chain for a company called Chef USA, and my team was spending about $750 million a year, which certainly gives you a certain amount of appreciation for what you and your team does and how they do it. And my team did a fantastic job. They were wildly successful what they did. And then the company came to me and asked me if I would go run a global business that they owned. All right. And if you don't mind, Reggie, I'm going to talk for just a second about leadership.
Absolutely.
And about communicating and being impactful in others. You know, at that point in my career, I was ready to go do something else instead of going from one business this conglomerate owned to another business that they owned. And so I was thinking about where I was going to go next and what I was going to do next. And the CEO was an Englishman, and he lived in Sydney, Australia, which is where the company was based. It was headquartered in Sydney. The board of directors sat largely in Sydney and in Australia, and it was traded on the Australian Stock Exchange. But I get a phone call from his assistant that says, "Will you please meet David for breakfast in L.A.?" Well, I was living in Orlando. But if the CEO wants to have breakfast with me in L.A., absolutely, I'm happy to do that. So I fly into L.A. David flies into L.A. from Sydney. That's a 14-hour flight. He flies in, gets a shower, meets me for breakfast, asks me personally, face-to-face, "Will you please go run this company for me?" And after breakfast, he goes back to the airport, gets on an airplane, and flies 14 hours back to Sydney, Australia. So the CEO of a global conglomerate doing billions and billions in revenue took 2 days out of his time to meet me face to face and say, "Will you do this for me?" It's awfully hard to say no,
right,
when someone does that.
Right.
So, Reggie, thank you for being face to face with me this morning.
Well, it's absolutely my pleasure. You got me on the edge of my seat here where the rest of this story goes. And what's interesting is that I know the story.
Wow.
But no, that's a really powerful calling. And I'm glad you teed up the segue to be able to talk about leadership, because I think that you uniquely, part of the reason why I'm always excited to have you bring your voice and perspective to all things Your Crescendo is that you have a unique and experience and a kind of a been there, done that perspective on leadership and purpose, even when purpose may not have been verbatim the thing that you felt like was driving it. It was kind of part of your natural DNA. And I guess what I think would be really helpful is if you can talk about at what point during your career trajectory did you get really intentional around purpose, really focused on the impact that your work was having, both as an individual, but then as a leader of teams and organizations?
Sure. You know, as my career grew and I was very blessed and was surrounded by a lot of great people who propelled me forward, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Suddenly you're the associate accountant trainee to you're supervising a department, or you're managing a team, or now you're the head of the finance organization, or suddenly you've got hundreds of people working for you.
Right.
And there is a responsibility that comes at every step of that journey, and there is a growing process for you as an individual. A few things. The first is humility. There was a time when I was the best financial analyst anywhere, period, bar none. I don't care. I wasn't having anything else. I was the best.
Right.
But when you move to supervising others, you have to give that up, because now your role is to enable and empower others so that they can do more than you can do by yourself. All right? And that's humbling. It's hard when you're a cocky young guy to think, hey, this kid on his MBA program has better skill sets than I have with this package, this what would today be Excel, right, or with social media today and things like that. And there was a time when I was it. So the first lesson I had to learn was humility. The second lesson I learned then was, for me to be successful, the folks who worked with me and for me, they needed to be successful. And if I could make them successful, I'd look good.
Mm.
But you also learn in that process that not everybody is in the perfect role. And sometimes the chemistry just isn't going to work. So sometimes you have to make a hard decision. And one of the things that I learned early on was, you better lose a lot of sleep.
Wow.
If you're going to make that hard decision.
Yeah.
Because you're impacting somebody's life, someone's family, their livelihood. And if you're making the right decision, long term, you're helping them. Short term, they sure don't see it that way.
Right.
Okay? And you're creating turmoil. And so for me, I learned that the things I did had an impact. And suddenly, you're responsible for, you know, a larger team, you're responsible for a budget, and you're choosing how the money is spent. You're choosing how the time is invested. And it isn't very hard to do good at the same time that you're doing good for the company. Okay? Because if you've got 10 people that can give an hour a piece, you can make a tremendous impact. And people want that chance to give back and to help. And so as my career grew, my responsibilities grew, but my obligation, my desire to do good while doing good grew as well. And I learned in the corporate world that there are people that get by. There are people that make their numbers however they can make their numbers, okay? And they'll kick the can down the road and they'll deal with the issues they created later. And I wanted to be known as somebody who was absolutely a hard worker, absolutely focused on winning, but was going to be honest and was going to do the right thing for the investors in the business, okay? Which was not always the convenient thing. It was not always the thing that put the most dollars in Elton's pocket. But again, you'll find that sleep is precious to me.
Right.
So I wanted to be able to sleep at night knowing I had done the right thing.
You know, there's a really powerful message in there around being really intentional about your own purpose and the impact that you were having being embodied in the impact that you're able to drive for the company, for the organizations that you were leading. And it reminds me of one of the things that, you know, this whole notion of bringing purpose to your career and business is kind of a novel thing with some folks. And and I will tell you that with a number of leaders, you can sense them wince a bit. Like, what is it? So, Reggie, let me get this right. You want me to help the people that work for me find their purpose, and what if that's not to be here? That is an anxiety that we often deal with within the context of leadership, in the context of leadership and purpose. And then, you know, it's if you lay on that the backdrop of the, you know, all the really compelling empirical evidence that talks about how the range of the workforce in terms of their level of being engaged and how really only a third of your team is actively engaged and in showing up to the work they're doing in an inspired way. And then the middle third is really, you know, really just kind of there. They're functional. They're good at their jobs because they bring their gifts to it. But, you know, it's not necessarily serving any purpose for them. And it's really kind of just a means for a paycheck.
Right.
And then there's another third that is really looking for the next thing to do. They're checked out mentally. They could be there for a long time so they can, you know, sustain. If neither the company or them take any action and get them to move on, they can stay there. And so if you think about at any given time in your workforce, you've got this 1 to 10 shades of gray in terms of engagement and what leaders should be doing to plug them in. You know, I often offer purpose as the thing that can be the X factor for having them, anyone in that group, being, you know, the place that allows them to navigate to get to a better place. The initial conversations around that worry leaders a little bit. And so, you know, I would, given the perspective that I highly regard of yours, and I think others do as well, you know, what would you say to that leader that's looking at that as a prospect of a way to drive the trajectory of, you know, of the folks that are on their team and like how they perform and how they navigate their careers? I mean, what would you say to that leader?
Reggie, I'm going to give you a long answer.
Okay.
All right. And I apologize up front for that.
No, we got time.
But take that top, those top performers. If you don't give them a sense of purpose and a sense of teamwork, somebody else will. Those are the people that recruiters are looking for.
Right.
That top third. Okay.
Right.
So you've got to make your company and your mission at your company more meaningful and personable to them. All right. And when you do that, they stay engaged and they stay with you and they know that you as the leader, you've got their back and you're moving them, propelling them forward to where they want to go. Okay. That's one.
Got it.
Okay. That group in the middle, these people are very solid performers. They just don't have the passion. Okay. That may not be their fault. All right. And, you know, at one point, I ran a business that moved 3,000 tractor trailers a day. And we weren't in the trucking business. Okay. But we moved 3,000 tractor trailers a day. And you develop a lot of skill sets in doing that. And when you find a charity that could sure benefit from some logistical knowledge, one of those people in that middle group that every day they're probably only moving 300 tractor trailers a day themselves, organizing, orchestrating, making all those moves happen across a section of the U.S., let them spend 4 hours with a charity that needs to move 3 a day, 5 a day. For your team member, that's child's play. That's easy.
Wow.
They see it instantly. For that charity, you just save them hundreds of dollars a day. You help them redirect that money to their cause, their benefit. And in this case, I'm thinking about food banks. Okay, and I'm thinking about, you know, the largest food bank at the time in the U.S., and I believe they still are, is America's Second Harvest.
Mm.
And part of what they did was a logistical network that matched up manufacturers who had food that they were willing to give to food banks that needed it. All right? What a way for someone in a role to feel powerful about helping others. And it took this third-party person to tell them that what they do is so incredible and so wow, and they work for such a great company that's willing to let them help charity. That's how you ignite a fire under some of those people, okay? You let a third party tell them how valuable their job is and how impactful they are to their organization and to a charity, all right? For that bottom third, be ruthless, okay? They deserve it. And I mean that in a positive way,
right,
that they deserve it.
Right.
All right. Part of that group needs to be reignited. They need that fire sparked because they're probably incredible people and they're bored. All right. Well, let's make them so they're not bored. Let's give them the next challenge. Let's let them go tackle that difficult thing that we're wrestling with. And for the other part that isn't challenged, that isn't motivated and isn't happy and is detracting from everybody else, they really need to go find another purpose somewhere else.
How about that?
Okay?
Yeah.
And long term, they're better off because of it, and you and your team are better off because of it too. It's not easy. It's not pleasant. But sometimes it's necessary.
I think that a lot of that's really insightful. And I think a lot of people get that as an aspiration. I think where people get stuck is evolving from their roles as a manager to get work done, to be a leader, to have these kinds of conversations that you're talking about, and to do work that isn't necessarily on a box that they got to check at the end of the day to complete their to-do list, right? So what would you say to this, you know, let's see, a manager of a call center that has this range of levels of engagement on their team, and they basically got to keep the call center staff.
They do.
Know, they're really focused on, you know, the metrics and the business performance of that. But ultimately, we know that their performance will soar, their career trajectory and the roles that they'll, the opportunities that they'll have the chance to tackle
right.
will emerge and evolve if they're able to move from being a manager in their function to being a leader of the folks that they have the span of control and influence to impact. You know, how do you grow your mentality, your mindset? Like, how do you make the shift in accountability and responsibility to take on this leadership challenge, even when no one is asking that of you outside of your long-term aspirations?
So let's think about that. If I'm a call center manager, I've got a boss that says you're only allowed in the budget to pay X dollars per hour per person. And no, you can't give everyone a 30% raise and make them happy. And that alone's not going to make them happy anyway. It'll make them happy for a day or two,
right,
but not long term.
Right.
And you've got a set of metrics, speed to answer and calls dropped and all that sort of thing that you've got to hit as well. I tell that call center manager, look at where you're spending your time every week. And I bet you're spending 20% of your time recruiting, right? What if you spent 10% of your time taking the people you have and motivating them to stay with you, all right? And there's a couple things to do. One, make sure that you give them purpose. Make sure they understand what they're here to do. Two, give them training. Give them tools. Make their job easier, because not everybody who calls the call center is going to be happy. That's why we have a call center to start with.
Right.
All right? Give them training. Give them tools to make those calls better, get them to more successful outcomes, and empower that member of your call center team to make somebody else's life better. Create a smile over the telephone, all right, or in chatting with people on the web. So I think you've got a couple things to do. You need to shore up your folks and give them tools to make them more successful. They'll enjoy their job better. And for that group that's less engaged, find that purpose that makes them be happier coming to work, because what will happen is they'll come to work. You don't spend 20% of your time recruiting every week.
Wow. That's really powerful, and I wish I could take a bit of that, my hypodermic needle, and infuse it in a number of the folks we have the opportunity to impact. This could go on and on forever. We got to take a quick break. I am going to give the listeners a chance to kind of take a breath and, you know, inhale some of the wisdom and experiences that you've shared. And we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back just after we have an opportunity to hear from our sponsor for our show today.
Executive Producer Mel D, and thank you for tuning in. We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new, uplifting, and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalist, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn Fields, Less Stuff, More Meaningful Life. An up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels. And there's so much more. So get your subscription today at up2memagazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
So thank you, Elton. We'll pick up where we left off, and I really kind of want to take it as a segue to bring us up to date on, you got some really exciting things happening now. You chuckle as excitement is an understatement. But why don't you share with our listeners, what you're working on now, and just know that if you don't bring enough color to it, that I've got some color that I can add myself. So thank you.
Fair enough. Thanks, Reggie. So, I spent 27 years in the corporate world, and I was pretty good at it, right? But I got to a point where it wasn't fulfilling me, all right? And it was time for me to do something different for a couple reasons, one of which was I wanted to test and challenge myself, right? But two, I wanted to be more able. This is funny. This is the CEO of a business telling you this. I wanted to be more able to determine how I spent my time and on what things, and how I could spend my time more on purpose than just running a business, mm-hmm. helping it grow, be successful, etc. So I left the corporate world in 13, took a retirement, if you will. Mm-hmm. Now, understand, my goal is I want to retire 5 times. Okay. Took a little time off, and I had the good Lord had given me an idea back in 2007 that I was working in the background, and I had a file with me, and I'd work that idea from time to time. And it gave me a chance to really consider doing that, and I took a few months and tried to kill the idea, tried to prove that it wasn't going to be successful. And I would talk with friends about it and get their input, and could not kill the idea, which told me it was time to go forward with it.
Wow.
All right. So then I spent most of 2014 working on market research and business plan development and all those sorts of things, so that in 15 we could move forward with a company that we launched, that I founded, called VineVault. And VineVault does 3 things. The first is it is highly secure, full-service wine storage for individual collectors for some of you may not know or care about this, but there are people who collect things, and some people collect baseball cards or Barbie dolls, or my mom collected teapots, okay? Some people collect automobiles, and people collect all sorts of different things, and there's some very unique collections. Well, there's a group of people who collect wine, because quality wine, if you age it properly, can be incredible down the road, right? And we're not in the business of selling wine, but we help people manage and store their collections. Because what happens is, when you get the collecting bug, let's say you collect baseball cards, and every year you got to get the new set of cards, and you got to get all the rookie cards, and all of a sudden this person became an all-star, and you got to get their card. You keep adding to the collection. You add to more than you take away. Well, people run out of space, and good wine needs to be stored properly. So I was one of those people who ran out of space and was not satisfied with the alternatives that were out in the marketplace for me. All right. And so I had spent the prior 6 years running a global business that stored documents, both in paper and in digital format, and we stored 105 million boxes of legal documents. Okay? Everyone thinks paper's gone away. It hadn't gone away yet,
no.
Trust me. So there was a lot of skill sets that I learned in running a business that stored legal documents for people, or stored important documents for people. So we took those skill sets with my passion for wine collecting, and created a business to meet a need. And so we are different than anything out there. We are full service. We've created a wine community as well, a group of people who love wine, want to learn about it, want to share with others. And so we do three things. We help people store their wine. We help people when they're relocating their wine cellar from one house to another, or if their basement got flooded, or, you know, so if you're moving across town or across the country, we help them with the logistics of that. We'll come in, we pack it up, we move it in our refrigerated vehicles, we store it temporarily, and we take it back to them when they're ready. And then finally, because of that wine community, we do all sorts of very unique wine events. So there's lots of great wine retailers, and they put on some fantastic tastings. We do things that others don't do, and things that for real collectors are wow events. Mm-hmm. So we'll take 600 point rated wines, okay, consider some of the finest wines in the world. We'll have a group of 10 or 20 people come together, and you sit down and you've got six glasses in front of you, and they're all 100 point wines. They're all perfect wines, if you will.
Right.
And it's a great experience.
Right.
So that's what we do now.
That's outstanding, and I actually am going to ask you to kind of go into the level deeper for a reason. So one of the things that I always challenge people to find, you know, so first let me just kind of, you know, knock down a misconception. So oftentimes, you know, this whole notion of pursuing your passion gets a bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a lot of cases, what you'll find is people that will love something, and it may not even be an intense enough passion that they've actually put work behind it, but they just are fascinated enough that they've kind of kept on top of it for years. And somehow they think it's their passion, and so they go do it. And they go do it, and they fall flat on their face, fail miserably, because frankly what happened is they optimized only one thing that's required in order for you to go do something. It needs to not just be a passion, but it needs to be something that lines up with things that you're gifted at, and it needs to be it needs to reward you in ways that motivate you. So that you gotta have the trifecta. You gotta have the passions and the gifts and the motivations. And so when, you know, oftentimes you hear people talk about how this whole, you know, especially is there folks that are decompressing their fears. Mm-hmm. They'll talk about this notion of pursuing your passions. Like, that doesn't work. If, you know, that it doesn't put food on the table. Well, just singularly, you're probably right. Like, you can't just kind of singularly focus on passions. But what I would love for you to share is, you know, one thing I often challenge people to do is look back across their career and think about the things that they were so passionate about that they worked. They put in work behind it. They became either a subject matter expert. They knew, they learned things about it that were beyond what was required for that job. For me, it was the fact that I was doing consulting for a number of years, but I always wanted to be in a position to mentor others or to coach people to be more successful in their projects or to work with clients individually. Like, for me, it was just as important that this client that was sitting next to me, you know, prospered in their career than it was for me making some go live conversion with all of our records, you know, pulled from one system to another. So talk about how those passions early on showed up enough for you to frame up a business around it.
Okay. So, look, early on, when I was in my 20s, I had a personal trainer, all right? And at the time, young guy in his 20s, I drank beer, all right? My trainer says, you can't keep doing that because what you're doing is offsetting what you're spending money with me doing here, okay?
Right.
So I said, well, fine.
You put it in money terms, some terms you could have.
I got that. Okay. I'm throwing money away. Let's not do that. Okay. So for me, I said, fine. Well, if not beer, what do you recommend? And they said, red wine. And they said, it's healthier for you. Of course, and we're talking moderation here. Okay.
Right.
Let's be clear about
that.
And for me, my mindset was one of, I'm willing to make an investment today for down the road. Call that a saver mentality. Call it whatever you want. But for me, it was buy wine, set it aside. Over time, it gets better, and I get to match up my enjoyment as well. So that was one of those early things. And over time, I got serious about collecting. and I developed knowledge in that field. But here's what I did. There's lots of people who love wine, who are knowledgeable about wine, etc. I also wanted to have a successful business venture. So if you remember, I spent time trying to kill the idea, and I spent a year making sure that there was a business plan that made sense, right? But I also did a couple other unique things. I understood my limitations, okay? So as a wine lover, why don't I go become a winemaker? That's easy. I'm not any good at it.
Right.
That's why I didn't go do that,
okay.
All right? You have to recognize where you add value. It may be your passion, but where do you add value? Where do you not add value? And over 27 years of working in the corporate world, while I create a lot of value for those businesses and those shareholders and those employees, I learned things as well. And I took that set of business skills, and especially the skills of being able to store 105 million boxes of stuff, okay, and put that into my passion. I found a need. I solved it. Solved it in a way that was unique. We're a game changer. We do things differently, and we do them in a way that, yes, we can make a profit. And in making a profit, it enables us to do good for others. It helps us to help charities and people and other people that need help. All right? I call that doing good to do good. Okay?
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That is really compelling way to, you know, encapsulate, I think, the experiences of having that done. And one of the things that I think will, I was hoping to come away from this conversation as we start to move it towards the end of it, is the notion that, you know, when you have a sense of purpose and when you have a thing that you're driving towards and an impact that you want to make, how that gives you an opportunity to be intentional in your decisions with regard to careers and business. Talk about how clarity around purpose has enabled you to make really what, in a lot of cases for you, have been game changer kind of decisions, not just for you personally, but for the organizations and the teams and the businesses that you've launched. There's so many, you know, stakeholders that have benefited from this focus of purpose that you have. Talk about like how purpose has been a decisioning tool for you.
Well, I guess a couple thoughts there. You know, Reggie, I went through Finding Your Forte process with you, and it was so impactful for me because it gave me that chance with you holding up the mirror to say what's really important to you. Okay. Part of my passion is I am a business person. I have fun in figuring out how a business can be successful. Right. And I knew that anything I did, I wanted the business to be successful so that then I could take some of that success and go help others, all right? So you and I are going through that process, and you probably don't know this, but I'm wrestling with, so what's next? And I understand how I'm wired a bit better after talking with you. And I'm with a dear friend of mine, and he's in his 70s. And so his perspective is different than mine. And I said, you know, I used to have a big corporate career, and I'm not going to do that anymore, and now I'm going to go out and I'm just going to help people. And he said, you know what, Elton, that's noble, that's nice, but you have the ability to make a lot that could fund a lot of others going out and doing good.
How about that? Yeah.
So, and he also knew that I'm not the most compassionate person in the world, okay? So his thing was, maybe you're not the doer, maybe you're the enabler. And, you know, 2016 for VineVault was its first full year in business. And we had a chance last year to help 12 charities. Okay. Now, your first year in business and you know, you're a startup and you're struggling the whole bit, we still found a way to help 12 charities.
That's profound.
Okay.
Absolutely profound.
Yeah. In some cases, it was cash. Okay. But you're a startup, there's not a lot of that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But in other cases, it was us enabling them to match up with the people who could fund what they what their purpose was.
Wow.
And so even in doing business, it's find a way to be impactful for others at the same time that you're doing what you're doing, and make it a win-win.
Yeah, that's, man, I cannot tell you enough how I think having similar principles around how to successfully launch ventures and to have those cornerstone priorities or those what I consider critical success factors gives you so much, trajectory and so much momentum for growth. Just knowing that that's what you've built in the foundation of this organization. And I'm excited to see, the day that's come in where Fine Vault is in all major cities, the business model has caught on. If you all have not, if you are a wine enthusiast and or collector and you haven't had an opportunity to experience Fine Vault, you will not be sorry. You'll call and you'll thank me later. Please take a moment and visit the Vine Vault in Miami Circle here near Buckhead, Atlanta. It is an absolute state of the art. I could go on just kind of explaining all the just really exciting. I'm a bit of a techno head, so like when I see you walk in a vault and it reads the vascular system on the back of your hand in order to know whether you should be going into this section of the wine, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So I'm excited to see that Elson has taken that model, and they currently are located in Atlanta and
Austin, Texas.
And I don't know, but I may have heard there's another facility on the horizon.
Things on the horizon.
I don't want to say too much.
Okay.
All right. But first of all, I really appreciate you sharing that experience with us. And as we, kind of wrap our time up, one of the things that, and I didn't warn you I was going to do this, but one of the things that I like to consistently do when we have guests on Finding Your Forte is take a bit of a pulse check.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to ask you on three things to give me your kind of 1 to 10 where you are currently. And these three things are, so first, that you have clarity of purpose. Where are you currently on a scale of 1 to 10? And that secondly, where are you in terms of having a plan to execute this purpose? And then third, are you in execution of it? So do you have a purpose? Do you have a plan? And are you executing it? On 1 to 10 on each of those three.
Wow. Do I have clarity of purpose? 9 out of 10.
Wow. That's powerful. Okay.
Okay. Part of that's being comfortable in knowing that the good Lord will present me with those areas that I need to help.
Okay.
Along the way.
Okay.
All right. And do I have a plan? Yes. But understand, the plan is knowing that the right opportunities will be presented at the right time. The plan is put yourself in a position that you can help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? Be ready when the call comes.
Be ready.
All right. Look, for me, purpose and business go together. All right. So, look, we're a startup. We're in year two. All right. So I've got to give us a low score in two areas. One, I think that we're probably a 4 or 5 on the plan. All right.
Okay.
And from an execution standpoint, we're 2 or 3 because we're a young business.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
And I say that, and I'm a tough grader.
I see.
Because at the same time, we were able to help 12 charities last year.
Right. Right. Right.
And I'm excited about what can we do this year. And it's not just about helping charities, but it's helping people and families and all of that. All right. So execution-wise, we have a long way to go.
Well, I ask those questions being intentional because those are the three measures on which your crescendo focuses on trying to position clients and empower people to have great scores on those. And so I look forward to watching those members grow with you. I thank you for the kind comments you shared about your experience going through Finding Your Forte. Again, I echo that if anyone's interested in learning more about that program, they definitely, an easy thing to do is just to send me an email after the show to info@yourcrescendo.com. And Elson, I just really want to thank you for spending the morning with us. So you guys can't see this, but we're looking out the window at weather and traffic. And so this is it's just a really small symbol of the things that Elton had to conquer in order to be able to get to, you know, to spend with me and to have this conversation with you. I hope that it has been enriching and enlightening for you all in some way, shape, form. I know it has been for me, and I thought that I knew everything that we were going to talk about. But this has been a really outstanding hour, and thank you for spending the time with us.
Reggie, thank you.
Absolutely. And with that, I will close out Finding Your Forte. I'll encourage each of you to, you know, find your forte, to compose your masterpiece, and then to play your crescendo. And I will leave you all with the song that we are elated to have as our theme for the show, Free Your Dreams by Shante Khan, an artist who has made some amazing music, and you'll have the opportunity to hear the song in its full duration here when we as we close out. And I would encourage you to go and acquire the track. With that, I'll say good day. Have a really productive and prosperous one, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Moment as it fits my life.